I like that little chicka-pucka thing.
Chicka-pucka. Chicka-pucka.
It's awesome. I like it. I dig that. That's a cool guitar tone.
What do you know about guitar tone?
It's a little spanky for me.
It's a little spanky, but it's got to have a little spank in it, you know?
Sometimes. You know me. I'm always on the low end of the spectrum.
That's true. I'm up for the spank. Well, yeah. That sounds terrible. Hold on, let me rephrase. Hold on.
Spray yourself. We're only 40 seconds in. Going in
high on that one today. Woo. I mean, I like my guitar tone to have a little spankiness in it.
I get it. I'm here for it once in a while, you know, when I'm listening to my Vince Gill Stratocaster tones, you know.
She was standing at the front door when I came home this night.
That's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad we're not recording this episode because the listeners stroke viewers at that point would be able to see the look of horror on my face when Brian starts singing, because there is one.
Vince is a cool dude too, man. He's such a hell of a nice guy.
I love it. I have a weird... my dad, every time I talk about Vince Gill, because I ran into him at NAMM one time, and yeah, my dad's always like, tell him I want to come hang out on his porch. And I'm like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would like to hang out on Vince's porch, you know?
Yeah.
I personally want to eat biscuits and gravy with him, because I heard him talking about biscuits and gravy at a show once, and I thought, that's a man I can eat biscuits and gravy with.
I actually have a good friend that, so Vince goes to a common place there near Music Row to eat often, mm-hmm, and I have a friend that works there, and I'll have to ask her if he orders biscuits and gravy, because I think it's mostly sandwiches when he comes in there.
Yeah.
But
he's coming in around lunchtime.
You know, but you know, maybe he gets some biscuits and gravy. I can ask for you. We'll see.
What I want to know is, will he ask if I can eat biscuits and gravy?
Okay.
Or is that going to be weird?
It's only weird if you make it weird.
Okay. Yeah. I won't make it weird. One day we'll get Mr.
Really
Oliver over
confused
here to experience real biscuits and gravy.
I have
so he actually
no
knows
what
we're talking
about. Yeah, I have no
idea. Oh, that's right. You don't even know what biscuits and gravy are.
Well,
because your
do
biscuits are different than our biscuits. Because, you know.
I would say the other way around. Your biscuits are different from our biscuits.
Well, that's probably a good point. Your country is older than ours. So, yeah, our biscuits are different.
The thing is, like, I realize that biscuits and gravy is one of the most delicious meals. It's also one of the least photogenic meals.
Like it really does not photo well at all.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can get it to look pretty all right, but it if you don't know what it tastes like, you'd look at it and go like...
hard pass on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta
know. It looks exactly like the British signature dessert dish, a spotted dick, which is like, yes... with custard. If you have a spotted dick with custard, it's kind of like an inverse biscuit and gravy combo.
I'm here to tell you, it doesn't taste anything like that.
Doesn't taste like it, but looks like it.
I could get along with some custard in a donut or two, you know?
Custard's good, yeah.
Yeah. Stick it in a donut, maybe a little chocolate on top.
But where I was going with this is that I know Richard has never experienced the biscuits and gravy, but I know, because I've talked to him enough, if he ever gets over here and we take him to a legit biscuits and gravy place, not Cracker Barrel, he will be very happy. He will like it. Yep.
Okay.
He's a man of culture after all.
And then after that, we'll give him some good Mick Ultra, some good beer.
What?
Some what?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Michelob Ultra, the good beer.
Oh, Michelob. I've had it all.
If you're going to Americanize someone, you got to get in there with the Mick Ultra.
No, you don't. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that.
Is Michelob American or Canadian?
It's the worst beer I've ever... It's literally like... It tastes like bad water. It really does.
So here's a question. Is it better or worse than, say, something like Steel Reserve or Old E?
I've never had those.
Sorry,
oh,
Old E?
Like Old English.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Old E is a different drink altogether. But yeah, I've never tried these beverages.
Oh, they're bottom shelf like malt liquors. They're not good.
I've never had them.
A bottom shelf malt liquor. Now, that my friends, is a tongue twister. You can get that. You can get that very badly wrong. So you mean like a sort of like a whiskey type drink?
Oh, no. See, I realize that's probably kind of confusing. Malt liquor over here is generally like high ABV, cheap beer. So, yeah,
so what's high ABV to you?
Alcohol by volume.
Yeah. No. But what is a high level to an American?
For those, I think they're usually between 8 and 10%, somewhere in that level.
And a Budweiser has about 4 or 5%.
Yeah. Right.
And your average craft brew is between 5 and 7.
Yeah, so I understand
really
that.
High,
so. Yeah. Over here, I mean, it's almost the same words, but someone who, we wouldn't call it malt liquor. It would come by its brand, which would be, again, we've discussed this, Special Brew, Tennent Super Strength, or Kestrel Super Strength is basic. They're like fortified beers. They're like beer with extra rancidity poured in, and they're like 9-10%. You drink two cans of it and you're feeling pretty happy. That's what our tramps would drink. Over there you would call a tramp a bum. You would call a bum something else, so I'm just gonna leave it there.
Yeah, the tramps are not that here.
Over here a tramp is a bum, Bri, and over there a bum is a fanny, but a fanny is not a bum over here. It's totally different. Yeah, I'm navigating this delicately.
I feel like I need Google Translator for these conversations.
Yeah. So I get what you're saying. We have Special Brew over here, or at least we did at one point. But Special Brew, from my recollection, actually tastes much better than some of the malt liquors I'm talking about.
I mean, sure. If you like the taste of car battery acid, then yes, Special Brew is the drink for you. But
yeah, but like the malt liquors taste like shoes that have been like, it's like shoe water that has been soaked in, like, but left outside for a really long time and with a little bit of sugar in it.
This is a very specific reference. It feels to me as if at some point you've been so desperate for sustenance, you have supped from an outdoor shoe with sugar coating.
Haven't we all?
Brian, do you sup from the outdoor shoe? That sounds like a euphemism if ever I heard one.
I'm offended by that.
I'm managing to say lots of things that sound offensive but actually aren't.
It's very impressive.
It's a skill I'm learning. Have we got any gear to talk about this week, or is it all biscuit and gravy content?
That's a good question.
Mm.
Well, let's see. This nice October day.
It is an October day, isn't
it? It's not an October day. We're now in Novtober.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Well, Sedano just released a new pedal. How about that?
Did they, Bri?
How about that?
Wow. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I had no idea that was coming at all. You know?
Well, that's wonderful.
Never even heard of it.
It's a great pedal, Bri. Have you got one, Bri?
I don't have one right now. I have a breadboard version of it.
you need to order one, because you should do a comparison video of what it sounds like next to the old slow distortion pedal.
Oh, it's better than slow distortion. I mean, I can, but...
But that is something people have asked for straight away.
Yeah, I probably need to get one from Avi. Yeah, because it's... I've said it before that if I was to redo the slow distortion, I would do it completely different now. Totally
But
different.
People still love that pedal. And, you know, yeah. I guess with certain amps, it sounds pretty fine.
It does a unique thing, absolutely, for sure.
Right. So why not do a comparison video so people can see what the new architecture of this Soldano pedal is like versus... Your original idea, because your original idea didn't really sound like a Soldano amp, did it?
No, not really. It was more like a Warren Haynes-y sort of thing, you know?
You know, I'm glad I'm not going completely insane, because I remember playing the slow distortion years ago when PGS had a brick and mortar and being like, this doesn't sound like a Soldano.
It sounds like a Warren Haynes type of Soldano.
Yes, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Because it's got that muffled high end and the warmer mids and stuff. Yeah, and it's, I mean, like I said, like when did I do that? 2010 or something, 11, somewhere. It was like a long time ago. And you know, I mean, like everybody, the more you do something, the more you like you learn and like things evolve, right?
You've learned a thing or two about a thing or two. Right?
Yeah. So like looking at it now, like I would do it completely different. So yeah,
makes sense.
But Sedona did it for me, so I don't have to.
I mean, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, I have been asked on numerous occasions today, did you do the pedal? And I simply told everybody that I am not allowed to talk about confidential client secrets. So I definitely will not be talking about it.
There you go. Don't talk about it.
I didn't.
Okay, the secret's out. I did it all by myself.
Blake breadboarded it.
Yeah, I breadboarded it. You know, I've got some pretty iconic pedal designs out there because I breadboard a lot of stuff. You know,
I'm actually mostly known
for my pedal design chops. That's what
especially,
people know.
I mean, really, you designed the Klon. You know, I mean, no, Bill doesn't like to talk about it, but yeah, really,
it was me. It was me. You know? Have you ever heard of a little thing called a tube screamer?
That was me, baby.
That was me, baby. Yep. I did that before I was born. Mm-hmm. I designed that before.
What is your favorite array of op amp clipping? Do you prefer the non inverting, or are you more on the JFETs?
Hold on, you conflated two things there.
I don't know what I'm talking about, Richard.
I wanted to see whether he knew what I was talking about. That was the test.
I could probably rip a schematic off the internet and make a real decent perf board thing that barely worked. If you need me to do that.
Brian Wampler. We don't need another one. We don't need another one in the room.
Yeah, but what are you going to call it? The Blakestortion?
The Blakestortion. The Blakestortion. This looks remarkably like a single transistor boost. Is this just an LPB1 clone?
Maybe.
You know, we're getting off into the nerd territory. You might want to go take a bathroom break for a minute, Richard. So the LPB, when I see people referring to a circuit as the LPB, I get it, but I also look at it like, I would call that the data sheet schematic, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much what that is, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's kind of just using a transistor as the transistor was designed to amplify the voltage, you know? Mm-hmm.
They're just like, make it louder.
Yeah, make it louder. And here's how you do it. And then, you know, Electro-Harna, I mean, it's not part for part, but I mean, it's still like, that's how you do it. You know, it's like if you're making a bowl of cereal, got to have a bowl and you got to have a spoon. So, yeah, I mean, those are two things that are going to be there regardless of what type of cereal you eat.
And you got to have apple juice to pour on your Cheerios. You know what I mean?
Special brew, surely. It's special brew all the way.
Oh, or shoe water. You got to have that old shoe water to pour on your Honey Nut Cheerios.
I'm not feeling that.
I'm just kidding. I'm a whole milk boy over here. You know that. I don't even go skim. I go whole milk over here.
I'm not a fan of the skim milk. I want all the fats from the milk. The fats are good for you.
They are good for you, and they taste good. Richard?
Come back to life now.
We're done with the LPB1 talk. You're good.
I wasn't quite done. I just wanted to note that there was a very popular pedal in 2012 that was basically that. And how do I say this?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, there was like 18 versions of it.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. I don't think it exists anymore.
Okay.
This is like some kind of game of pedal Cluedo.
I know Sean from Love Pedal. What was the one he had?
Oh, he did the Electra distortion?
Well, I mean, it's still a transistor voltage amplifier. What was that pedal called that like it was supposed to be sort of tweedy sounding? And
the Leslius. I have one. It sounds great.
Well, that's one of the circuits, but there was another. Like, again, he had multiple versions of this type of circuit with different names, but voiced to sound different. But still, when you look at the schematic, you're like, it's a voltage amplifier. Okay.
It's kind of incredible, much like a fuzz face. Like by changing just a couple little things, you plug it in. If you're not an electronics person, it sounds remarkably different. It's incredible.
Honestly, like I look at that with a lot of circuits. Like you mentioned Tube Screamer. Mm-hmm. There's 1,000 ways to make a Tube Screamer not sound like a Tube Screamer. But when you look at the schematic, you're like, oh, it's kind of a Tube Screamer type thing. Mm-hmm. And if you say that to another guitar player, like, I don't like Tube Screamers. Like, well, hold on. I didn't say it sounds like a Tube Screamer. I'm saying from the circuitry, it's kind of situated like a Tube Screamer, but it sounds completely different. You know,
this is such like the nerd territory that like no one else would like. Yeah, the Plumes is a great example.
Is a great example. It's not a Tube Screamer. I mean, it's a Tube Screamer type circuit, but if you expect to get an 808 sound from it, you're in the wrong house.
Yeah, that's why I like it. Because I don't
I'm not. That's not a put down. That's a cool. I like that about it. That JB did his own thing with it. You know.
Yeah.
I like that sort of stuff.
I think people don't realize a lot. I mean, probably people who listen to this podcast know, but in general, a lot of people don't know. It's like if you just change the value on, you know, one resistor in one very specific part, it's like all of a sudden you almost have. It's not entirely new. Of course, there's still characteristics that are the same. But like, it's remarkable how much you can change the sound by altering just little bits here and there.
Oh, you know what? In that Tube Screamer, if you just take out one capacitor, just remove one capacitor, it's a whole different pedal, whole different sound, whole different everything.
What Brian didn't tell you is you replace that capacitor with a whole different distortion pedal circuit. But the principle is the same.
Yeah.
If you take out that capacitor to insert a fuzz face circuit, it's no longer a Tube Screamer.
Exactly.
I bet that would be cool. Why don't you do that?
That actually is a cool thing. Yeah, if you take a fuzz face type thing and run it into a Tube Screamer. Now, you got to control the gains like you always do.
But I'll control it all right.
I mean, if it's like full volume all the way throughout, then it's going to be really noisy and trashy, which might be a cool thing.
Perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
For a person like me, I'm like, ooh, tailor that back there a little bit there, friend. You know?
Friend? Hello, friend. I'm not your friend. I don't even know who you are.
I'm from Indiana. Everybody's my friend.
Oh, which reminds me, Blake, have you listened to the latest last podcast on the left? They've actually proved my theory even more true, because they were talking about a house in Indiana where some weird stuff went down. And where, as I said before, weird stuff happens in American towns that are literally name plus ville, the ultimate form is when a town is just the name. So this all occurred in Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Right. So that is the ultimate form.
You don't know about Gary,
Indiana? I do now. Gary, over here.
Gary's kind of considered to be a pretty, you know, it could be pretty dangerous depending. We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right. Well, there's a haunted house there for a start, so that's pretty dangerous.
Well, there's haunted houses everywhere.
Well, not really. Ghosts don't exist. Well,
if every time I've been to a city, they always have a haunted ghost tour. I mean,
Sorry, when you say you go to cities, are you in fact only visiting fun fairs and amusement parks? Do you just travel carnivals?
Yeah. I basically look for the Cracker Barrels. If there's a Cracker Barrel in town, I'm stopping, you know?
I've never tried the Cracker Barrel. When I think of Cracker Barrel, I just think of cheese and crackers, because that's what we eat in England. No.
So when you come to NAMM, but Blake's going to hate us, but we all have to have a trip.
I'm not going to Cracker Barrel.
You got to, Blake.
No, I don't. There's nothing worth eating there.
It's for the sake of our friendship, you know?
Why don't we go not there. What about that?
What, Chick-fil-A? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying Chick-fil-A?
That'd be an improvement over Cracker Barrel.
Only if Chick-fil-A starts serving beer. Why don't
I don't want any of your
beer?
Racist chicken. I don't want to eat that.
Racist chicken. Can chickens be racist?
I don't know.
I don't think chickens care. I mean, everyone.
My dog's racist. My dog sees blonde Labradors as the enemy. Like, it doesn't matter if he's never met them. If he sees one from a distance, he just doesn't like that breed of dog. Maybe it's breedist. Is that how it works with dogs? Breedists. I don't know. Brian, you're an animal guy.
I'm a goat animal guy, though. I don't have
You've
a dog.
Got more animals than me, so you're an expert,
I do,
surely.
But they all have horns.
Oh, okay.
Or claws, or cats. I have cats and goats.
I wanted to send you, Brian, and I forgot, but maybe you'll find this funny regardless.
Is it a 52 Telecaster? Because I
No, because that wouldn't be funny. Okay. If you want to send me something, though,
I'll take that.
Just put that out there in the universe, right? I think we would all take one, right?
Telecaster?
I'm just going to think real hard about it, and it will pop into my life.
I'm just mesmerized by your camera,
eyes
Blake.
Are shut tight.
You're so high-res, Blake. You're so high-res now.
Yeah, Blake
I'm
has
just
a
mesmerized
new webcam
by
camera,
your
and it's,
frames per second.
It's like 8K. It's pretty crazy.
It's like talking to a whole new person.
And it's like 120 frames per second.
Yeah, just really going.
That was really intense. I'm just going to let you know that.
Yeah, Richard and I have about 3 frames per second. So,
yeah, I was tired of using my cell phone because
we
as
were
I've
tired
told
of it
you before.
Too.
Yeah, it gets old when you use your cell phone.
The cell phone looks so much better. Here's a question: why is Apple's webcams on their computers such trash?
Their cameras on their phones are
fantastic. And the webcams in their computers are complete garbage.
Exactly.
When I recorded with Chris Shiflett, I am glad I had my second cam set up because I forgot how bad my laptop camera was. It looked horrible.
Yeah.
I never plugged up Blake's own enterprises there. Just going to mention that.
Let's just make the iMac
not out yet.
A little bit bigger to put a better camera in it. You know, if we could put that great camera in a small phone, why can't we just make the iMac like a quarter of an inch bigger? And make a better camera. Like that's
Richard, you're the computer scientist. Yeah. What's the deal?
Why aren't you doing this, Richard? What have you been doing?
Because nobody cares. And it's only you two bozos that do, because the new Macs have great cameras, probably. I mean, I haven't bought a Mac for 7 years, Brian.
Well, I was going to say, hold on. So this Mac is...
Mine's like 2 years old, maybe?
Yeah, mine is... Oh, it's older than I thought. 2017? Really?
This is a 2015.
Mine's a 2020, I can confirm that the camera still sucks. So
I am going to be buying a new Mac next year. The countdown has started because I can't upgrade this one to the latest iOS, OS 10. That's not really an issue because I don't really care. It's like what I've got is pretty stable and everything works. But now the Adobe Creative Suite is telling me I cannot update to the latest versions.
Really?
Yeah. And that is like saying to me, we're going to throttle how much money you're able to earn. And that's critical.
That's a big problem.
New Mac incoming in the new year.
Which one do you think you're going to go with?
I'm probably going to go for the Studio, the kind of super hyped up Mac Mini, and get the new 27-inch Apple monitor as well, I think.
I look forward to your review. Because I'm looking at a similar setup.
I'm going to have to get me a new one too. Probably a MacBook, though, next time.
Well, you see, here's the interesting thing. And I got a little bit of this from Jamie the other day, Jamie Humphreys. I'm thinking of trading my MacBook Pro in for the new iPad Pro, because that comes with the M1, and I think even now you can get it with the M2 chip. And
really?
He's telling me that it is incredibly powerful. And of course, with the unified memory on these M1, M2 chips, potentially their performance really outweighs their size.
That's right.
Which is very useful. So, yeah, I'm thinking about getting one of those. He's running, I can't remember whether Cubase he was running on it, Cubase like mobile or something. He said it's he can mix while sat down on his iPad. So I'm there. I want one of those.
That's cool.
My MacBook Air and it's an M1. And I will say,
my daughter just got one actually.
I will say this. When I bought it, everyone was raving, absolutely raving about it. I think it's very good, but not worth raving about. That's what I will say.
The thing with all computers, though, is you don't really notice the upgrade until you go back to what you were using before.
Exactly where I was going with it. Mm-hmm. My old one was a 2009 Mac Pro Tower Dinosaur machine. Mm-hmm. Dinosaur. I didn't upgrade it until 2020. And when I did go back to work on it, most things I'm like, it's way faster, but it's not blowing my mind. I'm not like, oh, well, this is going to save me hours in the day now. It's just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So granted, I wasn't rendering 4K videos out at the time, but anything music related, my old Dinosaur did just fine.
Yeah, for me, I get, like, if I'm working on a very complex, multi-layered illustration for a pedal graphic, sometimes I'll do, like, a composition, and then when I move the graphic around the screen, I can watch it redraw the frames as it moves it, because it's really mm-hmm. running out of horsepower. So I feel I'm overdue an upgrade, but it really doesn't excite me. Like, as a kid, I would be excited every week if I got some new minor upgrade, and I'm just like, this is a necessary evil for me now. Oh, it's man. Not
now
like,
I start thinking, what plugins am I going to have to, you know, are not going to work, and I'm gonna have to jump through these hoops to try to get this stuff working like I was, and
I gotta figure out how to connect everything. Yeah.
It becomes like buying a refrigerator. Yeah, it's like you have to have it.
I'd actually rather buy a refrigerator. To be honest, a new refrigerator would bring me more pleasure right now.
Really?
Do you have the type of refrigerator that basically shows you the inside? Like it's got a screen on the front and it will show you the inside?
No, I have a 16-year-old refrigerator that barely refrigerates. So yeah,
I don't have one of those either, but I know other people that do.
I know someone who does, yeah.
That's like the epitome of laziness. I could open the door. Nope. I'm just going to watch this.
I got this 4K high-res camera that's going to look in there for me.
I really believe that is solving a problem that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist.
I've never once thought to myself, if only there was a way of knowing what was in my fridge without being right next to my fridge. I'm like,
you know, we need a little LCD screen on a pedal that will show the internal PCB, you know?
Yeah, that definitely is what people are clamoring for.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Everyone's asking for that.
Right, you want an LCD screen to show the internal PCB?
I said LCD, LED screen, sorry.
Sorry, my bad. You want an LED screen to show the internal PCB?
Yes.
Why not simply put a sheet of clear acrylic on the pedal?
No. One way to do it, but no. I want a camera mounted inside with lights so it will display.
This feels over-engineered.
Are you suggesting that these refrigerators should have clear doors?
Right, now we're back to the refrigerator thing. Why not just make it out of clear glass or something?
I did start thinking about this the other day. I saw a Tesla in the car park. And I was like counting all the different cameras it had on it. It has a camera like at every single angle. And now that Elon owns Twitter, who knows what he's doing with those cameras? You know, he's probably selling that data to somebody.
He's getting ready to start a new Vine, you know?
Exactly.
All those cameras are going to be little Vine videos.
Exactly.
He's just going to make Vines of people asleep at the wheel while their Tesla drives themselves.
That's right. Reading the paper while the car is driving or something.
He is a interesting chap. I am not sure I approve of where Twitter is going to end up. Have you heard he's going to start charging blue ticks at $20 a month for your blue tick?
I hate Twitter and always have, so it doesn't. This is like bothered me 0%.
Yeah, I mean, like if he makes it something that I would enjoy, then I would. I mean, I would maybe think about that.
Right.
What are you talking about, Bright? You really enjoy Twitter. You're constantly having interactions with our beautiful customer base on Twitter.
No, I get on there every now and then, but it's in between. So, I mean, I think everybody should know it's in between you and I, right? So
sometimes
it's you, sometimes it's me.
My cover's blown.
So sometimes you're like, hey, Brian, this person said this, what's the answer? And I'm like, the answer is inverting op amps, always. You know? Mm-hmm.
And non-inverting?
Non-inverting, no. Just
gotta invert them. All right, okay. Well, you gotta flip that phase. All right.
Well, you gotta use two. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, where was I going with that? I love you. It's gone. Never mind. That's gone.
I'm still thinking about refrigerators, to be honest. I'm thinking my refrigerator belonged to my great grandparents. And when they passed away, I inherited it. It wasn't very old when they passed away. It was only a couple of years old. But it's always had a drip at the back, always. Just a small drip that we keep like a Cool Whip container to catch the drip.
A what we container?
Like a small plastic container.
Cool whip. Whip. Cool.
What
whip.
The?
Whip. Cool whip.
Cool whip.
Cool whip.
What the flying fox is Cool Whip?
Flying fox. What the flying fox?
Oh, it's a sweetened like whipped cream type thing you've put on top of various whatever you want to put it on, really. It's also good just to eat.
Okay, right. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. But my point is this refrigerator will not die. It's always had this drip. That's the only thing wrong with it. It is currently, it's got to be 22 years old at this point.
It's probably drawing all of
I will not get rid of it until it breaks. I will absolutely will not get rid of it until it fails.
Is that why you've got all those solar panels just to power your 22-year-old fridge? Like, it will not break. It uses 40 megawatts.
It actually runs off diesel. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a diesel-powered fridge. Very reliable.
Gets great gas mileage, too. You know,
I will say solar panels first month. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Will it power a tube amp?
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Really?
Oh yes.
How big a solar panel would you need to power a 20-watt tube amp?
I mean that really depends on your system, because the panel themselves kind of put out whatever they put out, but how you harness that makes a big difference.
Because, I mean, also, you wouldn't want the solar panel to be part of the amp. You'd want it like on a cable so that you could run it to wherever there was sun and play the amp. I want a solar powered amp. I don't like the fact that we are being held hostage by big energy at the moment, and I want a solar powered amp so that
it's big energy behind all the guitar and amp manufacturers. You know that, right? Yeah, that's how we're all so damn wealthy, you know, rolling in billions. Is because
absolutely
we're getting big energy money.
Rolling in it.
Yo, man. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know about rolling in it, but I have been rolling it all afternoon because today I finished loads of work and I have been very happy this afternoon because I am ahead of the game.
You guys, I'm feeling great right now.
Dude.
That's Richard. That's Richard for the day.
You know what? This is since that just happened. You know what I really want to talk about, but I'm not sure how much we can talk about it, is that listener email we got.
I can't say much.
Let's just say there are people listening to this show that we never would have expected listen to this show, and they find our UAP talk funny because of
you've said too much already. There's going to be wait a minute.
You've said too much.
Who's that at the door? Is that Will Smith?
Tommy Lee Jones? What are you doing here?
What? I was going to be much more subtle about it than you, Blake. That was I love all our listeners and all shapes and sizes,
of course.
You know, we do have a very interesting cross-section of listeners. I have discovered this.
You know, it's crazy that even though, like, this is a smaller podcast compared to, you know, like the Joe Rogans of the world, right?
Sure.
But still the people, like, sometimes someone listens to the podcast, you're like, I never knew you would be listening to this, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's
so
like,
anyway, we can't say anything else, but... Right. If you are listening, Barack, it's nice to. Sorry, Barry. We said we'd call him Barry.
Barry. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Barry. Yep. You know who you are. You'll be on the History Channel soon,
dude. Right. I'm just gonna say that whole interaction blew my tiny mind. I could not sleep.
Oh yes.
Same. I could not sleep.
For days.
Well, I slept fine, but...
I mean, I slept, but I, for days, my mind was just blown. Yeah.
Yeah. So it has led me to ponder more about these UAP videos that the Navy has been releasing. They all appear to be near the sea. Could it be that...
Well, that would be the Navy for you.
Well, yeah, but yeah, why aren't the Air Force releasing videos, showing videos?
Be near water.
Why is it the Navy and not the Air Force or Space Force? So what if interstellar beings, I'm not going to call them aliens because that denigrates them to the level of little green men with bug eyes and ray guns. Which would be very cool. I'm just going to say I don't mind those either. But if they were interstellar beings, and maybe the portal to their interstellar world is under the sea, perhaps they are the Little Mermaid. I know, isn't that controversial right now? I forget. I'm behind on my American.
I haven't kept up. I have.
Oh,
no
we've
idea.
Moved on from that. Now we're talking about Tom Brady's divorce. So you know that's a totally different.
Is he in the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware.
Which one of the Brady's was he?
He was. That doesn't sound like he is anymore. Sorry, maybe Tom's listening and he's very offended right now. Sorry.
Yeah, who knows who listens? I'm just going to say and I hope I pronounce his name right, if Jim Irsay listens, the erstwhile owner of the Colts and a few guitars, I'll take care of that black Stratocaster.
Well,
you
sure.
know the one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at here. Richard out here pretending like he doesn't know anything about American football. Oh, the owner of the Colts.
But no, I got to ask your view, Blake. Have you seen the latest one where the sort of ball drops down into the water real quick?
I saw something like that, but I feel like it wasn't that recent. So maybe you've
that's
seen
the most method? Recent of the naval videos that has been released. It was some months ago, but that's the one that's sitting in my mind going like all the others. I can kind of go, it's too grainy. It's too, that could be an F-16 banking. It could be this, that, or the other, but that's the one where I'm like, what on earth or not on earth or in earth was that? So that's the one that gets me. The one that gets Brian is a film from 1935 that he thought was real. I just made that up because he's not paying attention.
No, I was sorry. I was reading my book here.
You just read your book while we record your podcast.
I just read a book whenever you guys bore me. You know,
Wow. That's
The Secrets of
Burn.
Non-Inverting Op Amps by Brian Q. Wampler.
The Q stands for quality.
That's right. Brian Quality Wampler.
I have to say, you would make a very good, like, you know, you get those sleep tapes on like, what's the service called that Amazon own? Audible. You can listen to like the sounds of the sea. You can listen to the sounds of Brian breadboarding. I'm just taking a non-inverting op amp and putting it next to resistor 3, and I'd be asleep in minutes. I think you should record
maybe
this,
that's one of those, what do you call those kind of videos with all the textury stuff?
ASMR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my new gig.
Spray yourself. Just spray yourself. It's wrong in every way. It should not be anybody's desire.
You never know. Someone might want to hear, you know, what it sounds like whenever you increase the gain in a MOSFET gain stage or something.
We're going to move this resistor over here to R3, and we're going to increase the value. Look at this. Ooh, if we adjust the bias just slightly, the texture changes in such an interesting way. We got some artifacts in that compression.
Half of me's already shut down. And it's probably the intelligent half.
Ouch! Oh, ow! Oh, soldering iron's hot.
Them resistor legs,
pretty
they
accurate
hurt.
Representation,
yeah,
right?
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty
wrong
accurate.
End.
What? I smell burning chicken. Oh, that's my fingertips.
Before we get too far into...
How have we gotten 38 minutes into this already?
Well, have we got 38 minutes into this without me talking about the new pedal I've just ordered? I mean, it's actual pedal talk.
We should talk about Guitar Gear today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Good idea. So yeah. I've just ordered the new Boss SL2 slicer pedal. Have you seen it, Bri?
Does it slice and dice?
It slices, it dices, it probably makes rices. It's a fantastic pedal. It's a lovely color. That's why I ordered it. I like the color. I was like, No, it's a slicer. It takes bits of what you do and percussively plays them out, like cuts you and slices you around. And it's
MIDI controlled. Did you play the original version?
I didn't play a slicer. I've played with something that was like a slicer alike, but it wasn't the original. Did you?
I played the original. It's very cool, and I was not aware that this existed until you sent it to our text chat, and now I can think of nothing else. That's all I can think of right now. I want it badly.
Well, two things made me immediately order it, other than the color. And the fact
color
that I do like,
by the way,
I do like pedal. Yeah, we're going to nick that color for a pedal at some point, bro. That's a lovely color. But I have to say, two things were: one, it uses the same MIDI standard as us, so it uses TRS cables, which meant I was like, I can plug that in without buying a new cable, so I'm sold. Plus, it also has a USB in that says sync from other device. So it can take some kind of MIDI synchronization, mm-hmm. and I'm betting that will be from a Roland drum machine that uses MIDI, which I have sat to the right of me, right here, flashing away. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be able to do some really interesting drum machine, slicer, MIDI stuff. Brian's fallen asleep.
No.
MIDI, and it was enough for him.
No, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. MIDI is handy in certain situations, but I don't like to
being
use
in
it
the
if
1980s,
I don't have to.
Yeah. No, the MIDI is not actually the bit that really does attract me. It is these things like the is it Horizon? What's that one pedal you had that I really wanted?
One pedal who had me?
Yes, you had the the
Microcosm?
That's the one. It's kind of, it reminds me of that sort of thing. It's like, you can discover new music with a pedal like this. You can
definitely
put something through it, and the result is not always what you anticipate. And I kind of need some of that in my life, I think, Bri.
Makes sense to me.
I think we should make something
like
this.
I'm going to be tempted to order this slicer myself, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I have ordered one. I couldn't wait. But also, Bri, we should take one of these and combine it with a electro-harmonic style micro synth and basically create an ARP synthesizer in a pedal. But these are very cool toys. This is Christmas for me.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Richard. I'm going to deliver you a slicer. Instead of the sack of coal that you deserve, but you're going to get a slicer.
I mean, a sack of coal would be useful with energy prices where they are. Right, people of the world? Bit of political humor there.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get these solar panels for no reason, I'm telling you. There was a reason for it.
Bro, have you ever thought about
And it's to run to my refrigerator. That's why. That's the actual reason. Going back to that.
Brian is engaged. Is he reading his book again? Hold on.
No, I'm just listening. I have nothing to add to this conversation. Because,
have you ever played a slicer?
For me. Yeah.
What, it slices? It dices?
It does nothing for me.
No?
It's a fun toy to play with for like 30 seconds. And then
30 seconds?
But that's what Christmas
three
is about.
Days straight?
But yeah. You got to remember, like, this is not my thing, though. You know, like, I'm bending the B's and bending the G's. I don't need a slicer.
You can
bend the G's into this.
B's and G's.
I need it.
Yeah.
I need a great reverb. I need a great compressor and a delay.
What do you need a compressor for? That's what you have a Big Muff for. It's got all the compression you need.
No,
he makes a good point.
No, it's too dirty. I need clean
what?
Compression.
That's a clean horrible oxymoron. Clean
super,
compression.
Oh, no.
Super fast attack. Fast attack. Quick release. That's what I need.
That's definitely on my Brian Wampler wish list, is a super clean compressor, Bri. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the Ego. The Ego is one of our best-selling pedals for a reason. It's an excellent pedal. But I also like that super clean compressor sound as well. That has a different place on my board.
Totally everything.
Yeah, I think I need one. I've been working on a book about music production. It's got a whole section on compression and expansion. And I didn't have time because I was working on the book, like formatting it, to read what it was saying. But I was like, I've got to come back and read all this. This is fascinating stuff. And that's Warren's book. And we're going to hopefully have Warren on this show by the end of this month, by the way, Blake.
Ooh, that's very exciting. Let's talk about that time that we both met and we were the only ones live streaming things at the
we should mention which Warren you're talking about, by the way.
I'm not talking about Warren Haynes. I am talking about Warren Hart, who is a music producer, Bri, and a friend of yours and kind of a friend of mine too now. So very cool guy. He's produced the Aerosmiths, the Korns. Yeah.
He knows a thing about audio.
Yeah.
You know, he knows a thing or two.
One or two things. And he's also British. So he's all right by my book.
True, but he lives in America.
So yeah, but he hates it. He wants to come home, like every other Brit.
He also does a lot of really good, studio tours is the wrong word, but he like goes to music studios and interviews other producers.
Yeah, his content is amazing.
I love that series.
Yeah, his Produce Like a Pro channel is fantastic. I think the listeners are going to dig it. But yeah. He's written a great book too, which hopefully will be out very soon. I do have a string related question for you as well, Blake. Based
All right,
off
I'll do
what
my best.
Somebody asked me on Twitter, looking at getting new strings for the Acoustasonic Jazzmaster, and the debate is: do you go for acoustic strings, or do you go for electric, or do you go for three brass bottoms and three steel tops?
You know, Fender would probably be the main people to ask for that, but that my gut on that would be to go with some pure nickel strings on that. It'd be kind of this isn't entirely true, but sort of a sonic halfway point between acoustic strings and traditional like electric strings. So that would be where I'd be inclined to because I don't have an Acoustasonic to try it with. That would be my first guess. And Scott's probably going to send me an email and be like, you idiot, that's not the way to go. But that's what I would...
Well, I'd be keen for his view, because I need to get some new strings, and I'm probably going to buy some off you. So tell me which ones I want to buy. Fender did just drop the new Player Series Jazzmaster Acoustasonics. So you can probably pick one up for, like, I don't know, $800-$900 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, investigate
the only
that.
Thing I'd say is they don't have the body pickup, which is half the fun, the sensor.
Oh, yeah. They don't?
So no, they don't, which is one of the ways they've got the price down.
Okay, fair enough, but that does make me substantially less interested.
It's kind of like Brian buying a telly without a G-bender, you know? I mean, it's still a telly, but...
Right, what's the point?
I would say it's more like him buying a telly with no bridge pickup.
What? Who on earth would do
just
that?
Just a neck pickup, Brian. That's all you get.
Do you have any dual humbucker tellies, Bri? The Friedman, I think, was one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But do you have any that you love?
The Friedman. The Friedman is one I have right now. And I have that one from Whitfield, but it's more like a Les Paul. Set neck and scale.
Because I'm thinking I need like one in my life. I'm thinking...
That Whitfield's... The Whitfield's my favorite. The Friedman is good, but it's far enough away from a Telecaster that even though it looks like a Telecaster, I'm like, but it doesn't remind me of like a traditional Telecaster at all. Which is, that's why I got it, right? Because it's not just another Telecaster. It's different. So, I don't know. I mean, what I would like to have is... I really would like to have a good, great sounding humbucker, but when in split coil, it sounds like a
dude. You've got to try one of the new Player 2s from Fender. Have you not tried one yet? Yeah,
Player
Pro 2. Sorry, not Player 2.
This is not the Acoustasonic.
The new Professional 2 range. Yeah, sorry, I've got words coming out of my brain at the moment from book formatting.
The
Pro 2 Fenders have the split coil in the Strat, and I think they do one in the Tele as well.
Yeah, but I've never been satisfied with the split coil sound of a good horn.
I'm totally with you, except for the Pro 2 Strat I've got. It actually sounds like a Strat pickup when it's on when it's split, and it sounds like a humbucker when it's, and there's really? No hum, importantly. It's a really good system, but I think that's only on their Strat. I don't think, unless they did like a Tele Deluxe or something, I don't think they did a Tele with it. I think they just did like the stacked humbucker sound maybe on the Tele version. I don't know. I'll have to check it out.
So my Equits Rayburn has normal humbucker sized wide rangers in it from Righteous Sound, and he made those into four conductors. And so when those are split, they literally turn into a Tele pickup. Basically how they're constructed. Yeah. Which I find weird that hasn't been explored further. Now, that said, wide range humbuckers don't sound like PAFs. So you have to like wide range humbuckers, which I love. Hmm. But these do the best job at splitting that I've personally heard.
Yeah. And same with the Pro 2 Strat. It's not a Strat that can turn into a Les Paul. But it is a Strat that has a very usable humbucker that can get really, it will push your amp instantly compared to the other pickups. And for me, it's the most flexible guitar I've got because I can just do so much with that reverse sort of splitting down the back there. But yeah, you should get one, Bright, but it's only in Stratocaster flavor and you won't do that.
I actually need another Stratocaster.
Seriously, get a Pro 2.
I don't know. I mean, I really want one from a small
get him
builder.
To make you a Pro 2. I get it. Just like copy one. It's like this. Make this.
Hold on. No, Fender, stop.
Sign up. Come on, sign up.
Get me to sign up. I don't know. No. Nope. There's. So I'm a little disappointed in some of the Fender stuff here
lately.
What do
you mean?
So
what's wrong?
I'm going to have to pass. On the business side of it.
Sure.
Different discussion for a different day. I'm looking through the guitars here, and I like a lot of the colors they got going on.
Yeah, they've got some
sure.
really nice new colors.
I don't know.
Come on, sign up.
Stop trying to get me to sign up.
Sign up.
Jeez. You know, that's what we need on our website, Richard. We need every 15 seconds just a pop-up that takes up the whole screen, and the little X is really hard to find. You can barely see it because it's the same color as the pop-up.
Infinitely recursing pop-ups is what we need. The minute you close one, two more open.
Yes.
That's exactly what we need.
Yes.
It's like the Hydra. You just can't
right.
kill it.
Yep. I'm all for turning our website into just a hackathon, Bri. You don't have to convince me. I'll make it make music the minute you go there. It'll play MIDI files at you.
Oh, now you're talking. Yeah.
Oh, we're talking.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
MIDI
it'll be a MIDI
too,
file.
Right?
I'll Here's play it through a lo-fi player.
Have you ever... went to a website that had anything autoplay that was audible that you were like, man, I'm so happy they did that. I'm just so stoked that I'm hearing this music right now. Never. Never have I. I'm always like, how do I turn this off? I got to turn this off. I don't even care if it's a song I like. I have to turn it off because that's not what I'm there for. Got to turn it off.
I mean, maybe the first time when that happened to me in like 1996 or whatever, like, oh, that's cool. It's playing music on this thing. But then, like,
this GeoCities website's the bomb. Stop.
I do have an idea for April Fool's, though. Speaking of that type of thing, you know what we could do? We could, for one day only, we could have... like the animated GIF background on every page, just for one day only.
The
like
dancing
the
banana.
Animated
That's
GIF.
What you're saying. You just
yes, like something.
The dancing
something really
banana. That's peanut butter jelly
day.
Time. Wow.
That is peanut butter jelly time.
That's
peanut
vintage
butter
internet.
Jelly time. Yep.
You learn so much from this show.
Peanut butter jelly. Where you at? Where you at? There you go. There you go. Peanut butter jelly time. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a good time for us to all go home.
I think so.
It ain't going to improve from this point.
We've got to peanut butter jelly time. It's quickly, all downhill from here.
Did you get the new Modern Warfare 2, Bri? Have you played it much?
Yeah, I've downloaded it already, yeah. Been playing it.
Yeah, I suck at it too.
I suck at it, but yeah. Commander Nacho 420.
Commander Nacho
420.
Yeah. Oh, I
shall look to you on the battlefield.
Me, even though he...
Excellent.
Scott's going to fire me because I forgot to talk about this. But today, as this episode releases, you can now buy our stuff at Sweetwater right alongside your Wampler Petals order, you know? So, yay! Yep.
Yay!
We're really stoked
That's
about
awesome.
That. I was going to talk about that earlier. That's why I had to go to Nashville last minute, because they needed an all-hands-on-deck type of situation out there. And so if you've been, if you're a Sweetwater customer, you can now order 3 velvet fuzzes and an enormous case of String Joy strings if that's your favorite thing to do. So there's my plug for today. I'm done. Yep.
That's okay, a great idea.
If you're hankering for some spankering, Sweetwater is the place to go. That's what
that's
you're saying.
Right. And if I understand, they're running a special. Anytime you buy a Wampler pedal, if you also buy a pack of strings from String Joy, you get a pack
of
strings.
And a free pick.
And in fact, the inverse works true, or works as well. If you buy strings and you also purchase a Wampler pedal, you'll get both strings and a Wampler pedal.
These deals are too good to be true.
That's a great deal.
Get them now. Yeah.
And you might actually get candy.
Get them now before they're gone.
You might get candy.
That's true. Yep. And a toothbrush. All right. Well, that's a good place to start transitioning over to the Patreon side of things.
And speaking of those guys, there's some people.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to some of our favorite executive producers. Just some of them. Bill Bays, Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Nighthoss, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vridar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, DJ Patty F, Dylan Talks Tone, Strand, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Greg's Guitars, Felicity, who makes the annoying memes, and Tom Kelly, Pigsy, Zebo, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, and the Flying Dutchman.
Later.
Thanks so much, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, email info@tonemob.com. And Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts, and also check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. Make sure to check out wamplerpedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.